Remind you again before I start the lesson about the website that we have. It is on northsidecofc.us, and you'll find it in some of the previous bulletins, but it's constantly being added to. The webmaster, Kevin Greer, who lives in Owensboro, Kentucky, put up this week some things on the women's page. We've named that the Virtuous Woman. Lucy Partain is the daughter-in-law of Wayne Partain, and she's very adept at using Scripture. We didn't want just sort of a good feeling for the woman's page, but rather to have something that would instruct and edify, and she's good at that. So we've got a place for that. We also are going to enlarge the Spanish page. We have not only Wayne Partain with his Spanish page, but have Bill Reeves coming up. Both of these are in their 90s. Wayne is 91, Bill is 92, and they spent their life in the Spanish work. They've been to Chile, Argentina, South America, and Mexico, and all those different places, and they've translated so many wonderful works of the Bible into Spanish. So this is going to reach out. We've already had someone contact us from Korea, from the Philippines, from India, and this is going to be sort of a worldwide effort, but we want it to be a local thing as well. So we'll try to encourage you as we can that you would be able to tell your friends and neighbors about it and your family and encourage them to look at it, because it's going to have some mighty good material that's there, and we appreciate it so very much. This morning I wanted to talk about something that is really important in our lives, and we see this sometimes in very dramatic ways. The Bible talks about the danger of evil companions, and I was hoping some would be here this morning that were here last week, but we use 1 Corinthians 15:33 because it says that very thing in the King James Version: be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Another version says, be not deceived, bad company ruins good morals. The NIV says, do not be misled, bad company corrupts good character. And be not deceived, evil companionship corrupt good morals. They all say the same thing with a little bit different words, but it says the same thing. And we have to recognize that that's exactly right. We can see that all around the world as it occurs. And so we ask the question, do I need confirmation of that? Is there something that I don't understand? Is God's Word not enough for me to understand the truthfulness of that? But I know that some people reject scriptural advice. And so with those, we may have to explain a little bit more. But so many people think, well, that won't affect me. I can have evil companions and it's not going to affect me, but it certainly does. And this warning is easily confirmed when we look at the Bible itself and at life itself. We understand that. I want to go back to the Old Testament, first of all, to look at some things that would help us understand how evil companions lead us in ways that we shouldn't go. We'll not read these scriptures, but in 2 Chronicles 17:1-6, he was one of the good kings of Judah. You recognize when Solomon died, Rehoboam became king of Judah, Jeroboam became king of Israel, and Israel went immediately into apostasy and idolatry. But Jehoshaphat sought God and walked in his ways, verse 4 says. He removed the places of idol worship from Judah, and you think, boy, here we got somebody really turning back to God. He taught the law of God to the people and appointed judges throughout the land in 2 Chronicles 19. Then when nations threatened to attack Judah, he commanded the people to fast and prayed to the Lord for help. So these are all commendable things, and you think that someone like that is too strong to be influenced by evil people, but he made a compact or an alliance with the king Ahab in Israel, and 2 Chronicles 18 reminds us, by marriage he allied himself with Ahab. Now, when you know your Bible, you understand that Ahab and Jezebel were tremendously wicked, evil people. And in doing so, he allied himself with family and nations with an incredibly wicked man. 1 Kings 21 says, "There was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord, because Jezebel his wife stirred him up." You know, we never name our daughters Jezebel, do we? I've never known anybody, a woman, to be named Jezebel, and there's a reason why that's so. Because in common vernacular, people say, well, she's just a Jezebel, which is an insult to that kind of person, but descriptive as well. And so here we have this alliance that's been made. And when you recognize that, here's what he said to Ahab, "I am as you are, and my people as your people, we will be with you in the war." So he just, all this righteousness that he had had, now he connects himself with Ahab, and he just sort of says, we're in fellowship together. I'm just like you are in these things. But later the prophet said, Jehu the son of Hananiah, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, "Should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Therefore the wrath of the Lord is upon you." Now, some people can say, well, God is just too hard. But there's, as we discussed in class this morning in Ephesians 6, there's an evil and there's a good. And they're never going to mix. And the evil is evil and can never be accepted. Amen. And we talked about the armor of God a little bit, and the fact that we need help to fight the devil in this kind of stuff. And you can't have evil companions together with a good person and that be right. It just can't do that. And so upon establishing himself, looking at Jehoram now, another one of these examples, he reigned 8 years as king. Upon establishing himself as king, his first act was to kill all his brothers. Now, that's pretty bad. He walked in the sin and rebellion of the kings of Israel, for he had the daughter of Ahab as wife. And so you see how future generations can be affected by these evil communications. So subject nations revolted against and attacked Judah. Jehoram was struck with sickness and died a painful death, which nobody mourned. That's sort of sad. Held a funeral one time for a lady in Crockett, Texas. She had been in her 90s and outlived all her friends. And I was the preacher. We had the attendants at the funeral home and no one else there with her. And I just thought, what a lonely death this is. But this is the way he was, because he allied himself again with Ahab's daughter. And I've observed that many marriages become battles because a man or a woman is not careful who they marry. And it can be war, it can be peaceful, depending on the types of people we associate ourselves with, even in marriage. Then we look at Ahaziah, 2 Chronicles 22. He reigned just 1 year. He walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother advised him to do wickedly. I'm just amazed. The idea of a mother that would do that. My mother was so sweet-tempered, and she loved the Lord so much, and she had a tremendous influence on me for good. And the idea of a woman advising the people, the son, to do wickedly. I remember reading in the news about a mother with her children were going into a place, and she was having her children steal things for her. What kind of a life do those children expect to have when they've been trained in wickedness? And so this was about the same as Ahaziah. He was killed by one who was anointed by the Lord to cut off the house of Ahab. You know, it's a terrible thing to displease the Lord. But to think about being so bad that God can righteously cut off the entire family. And that's what he did with Ahab. And you have to recognize that this is God's righteousness playing. Then we come to Athaliah, a woman king. She reigned 6 years. She attempted to kill all the rightful heirs to the throne to secure her reign. And these were her grandsons. She was killing her grandchildren. But one grandson, Joash, was hidden from her. This wickedness that you see about. You're talking about the people of Israel. You're talking about the people that received the Ten Commandments and the law of Moses. And you're talking about those who were in fellowship with Almighty God, and He protected them through Egypt and brought them out to a promised land. And they forsook all the righteousness of God. They became so wicked that they would do this kind of thing. And then you come down to Joash, who reigned 40 years, a rather long kingship. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord as long as his mentor, Jehoiada, the priest, was alive. This shows the influence of a godly person. However, when Jehoiada died, Joash listened to the advice of others, left the house of the Lord, and worshipped idols. People are malleable. They're impressionable. And I'm sure all of us has felt this at one time or another. You around someone, in fact, I've mentioned that when Pauline and I were first married, we had another couple that were friends, and we enjoyed being around them, but he was filthy talking and vulgar, and we just made the decision we can't be with him anymore. And we decided it was all like a crossroads in our lives. We're not going to live that way. And you have to make those kind of choices. And so here are examples that we're talking about of good evil companions corrupt good morals. The house of Ahab had corrupted Judah through the influence of Athaliah. Athaliah was in Judah because of Jehoshaphat. And so we make decisions sometimes that put us in a certain direction. We make decisions when we ally ourselves with certain kind of people that are not good for us. And so this is what the Bible is telling us. And if I believe the Bible, I don't have to go out here and experiment. I've seen it in action. I've seen that sort of thing. And so our evil companions can deceive us, but we're not supposed to be deceived and not misled because those things happen. Proverbs 13:20 says, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed." This vulgar man I told you about with our friendship when we first married, turned out he was an abuser. He beat his wife pretty bad. And his son grew up witnessing that. And when he was in high school, one day his father was beating his mother, and he shot him and killed him. And so you get down to that sort of situation. And here's Proverbs saying, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed." And you see that come to life right in front of you. And I know that when we made our decision we were not going to live that way, we began to associate with the kind of people the Lord would be pleased with. And I've said before, if I wanted to be bad, I know how to be bad. I came from East Texas. I came from a family that, except for my mother and my sister, was not interested in religion at all. I've seen drunkenness. I've seen infidelity. I've seen vulgar talk. I've seen profanity. If I wanted to do that, I know how to do it. But I've made a choice. That's not the way I want to live. And we do make those kinds of choices. But now when you're around people who do that sort of thing, it makes it harder for you, and you tend to drift little by little off into something that we ought not do. Galatians 6:7-8 says, "Be not deceived." Here's another warning about this. "God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he also shall reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." And that's our choice. In some ways, it's so simple. What makes it difficult is when we associate with bad people, and they use language and they do things that would pull me into that. Book of Proverbs, we mentioned in our study on interpreting the Bible, Book of Proverbs has the wisdom personified. In chapter 1 and on further in chapter 9, it talks about as a father speaks to his son with wisdom. And he's saying, here's what you need to do to be wise. And you have those sort of things. You make a choice. And sometimes when you're at work or when you're in school or college, you don't have a lot of choice. You're thrown with certain people. And I've seen from what we call the millennials, the college-age people today, they're very inclined to get out and riot in the streets. They burn things. They kill people. They're bad people because that's who they associate with. And you have to look sometimes at the news and recognize that these people out there are somebody's sons and daughters, and they've caught up with the wrong crowd. Now, before long, we're going to have the spring break, and that's particularly bad for the college-age people because they want to go somewhere and get drunk. So they go to a beach somewhere and they peel off all their clothes except a little bit of Band-Aids. And then they begin to drink and they have contests. Who can drink the most? So I've seen them with a funnel in their mouth and a hose from the bottle, and they glug down an entire fifth and they die from alcohol poisoning. Now, do you want your children and grandchildren to do all that? You know you don't. But here's a woman who was killing her own grandchildren. And you think, well, we wouldn't do that today. But I could get on another soapbox and talk about abortion, because you're talking about millions of babies being killed by their mothers. And I just don't grasp that. I don't understand. I can't understand Athaliah. I mean, I've got grandchildren, and I've got great-grandchildren, and the thought of killing those is just abhorrent. You want to hug them to death sometimes, and sometimes maybe try to beat them to death, but they're your grandchildren, and you just love them to death, and there's such an unnatural quality about that. So, we're warned in 2 Corinthians 6, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? What part has a believer with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? Now put this in the context of Corinth and understand that all that was there for their availability. They could be yoked together with unbelievers in business and marriage and various other sundry ways. And as Paul was writing to those people and trying to encourage them to live righteously, and we noted in 1 Corinthians 6 this morning, such were some of you. But now the good companion Paul let them out of that, and they didn't continue in that, so they learned better. Well, why is it that people do choose bad companions? And so many times you see it, especially at school. Young people pick up with the rebel. Young people pick up with the brat, and you get into gangs, and that has influenced so many people. I baptized a young man in the Marine Corps who joined the Marine Corps to get away from New York City. He said in New York City, he told me this after he was baptized, he said, I belong to a gang, and all that gang are now dead or in prison. And so I joined the Marines to get away. He ran across a godly lady, and she brought him to services, and he studied and obeyed the truth. It made such a difference in his life. Now today, he's still there. He's still faithful because he made that choice. Well, some ignore the warnings of God's Word. That's why they associate with evil people. Jehoshaphat did not seek God's Word until after he made his alliance with Ahab. And this still didn't stop him. He understood God's Word. He taught it. Some believe they're strong enough to resist the influence of evil companions. That may be so, but it's certainly rare. There's a pressure to ungodliness, just like there's a pressure to godliness. And we feel that here when we associate together, because we are people who've chosen to do the right thing. And there's a pressure in that, in the sense that we're not going to talk ugly here, we're not going to dispute here, because we have an association with good people. But some have so much pride, and pride goes before a fall. They think, well, I can overcome that. And we look at Samson. Samson was one of the worst judges you can imagine. He did things not for God, but for his own pleasure. And he finally ran across a woman that wore him down. And he gave away his secret. He gave away his secret to Delilah. And the end result of that was, later he died along with those as he destroyed their temple. And who can remember Solomon's love for his foreign wives turned his heart away from God? And there's so much mixed feelings I have toward Solomon. And people have asked me a number of times, do you think Solomon will go to heaven? I don't know. God will determine that. But I do recognize he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. In the book of Ecclesiastes, he talks about all the things that he did. And he did a lot of things. But right at the end, in the last chapter, he says he came to understand the whole duty of man is to keep, to love God and keep his commandments. I would like to hope that he went to heaven. But that's in God's hand, and he made some horrible mistakes to be as wise as he was. So when somebody says, well, I'm above that, I'm not going to fall for that. Remember Solomon. Remember Solomon, because he did all of that. And so some then focus on the physical. Lot moved his flocks and herds to the well-watered plain of Jordan. Abraham gave him that choice. And in doing so, he moved his family near the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he paid dearly for it. He paid dearly. Have to recognize that in association with some people in the world, you give up something to gain something. And if you give up too much of your righteousness, tragedy is going to be the result. Amen. Just the way that it's going to be. And so we have to recognize that. Then some just separate themselves from the Lord because of various reasons. Peter denied the Lord 3 times. And he says even at the last time he cursed. I don't know him. Yet he had been with him for 3 years. He saw his miracles. He knew what Jesus had done. But under the pressure of peer pressure, being with those people outside the trial place, warming himself with these people that were there, he denied. And there's a danger for us if we warm ourselves at the devil's fire. Amen. To do something we shouldn't do. That, you know, there's a lot of pressure. I see that in schools. Young people have so many temptations. My youngest brother, who's the only brother I have left now, when he was in the eighth grade, his teacher gave him his first marijuana. And he's been a user ever since. And you think 8th grade and a teacher would do that. Well, you know, we live close to a middle school in River Oaks. And I'd be out trimming the hedge. And I'd hear these middle schoolers walk by the yard as they went home. And I wouldn't say the words that they used. They blistered my ears with terrible language. And they were middle school children. And you know, this is the effect of the world. Verse 12 of Ephesians 6 has been one of my Waterloos about Scripture, trying to understand these principalities and powers and the things the devil uses. I confess to you, I don't know what all that includes. But I know he's got a full array of things to bring us down. And my prayer nearly every day is the model prayer of Jesus, protect us from the evil one.
Amen.
He's all around us. You watch television, he's there. You go to the movies, he's there. You go to the mall, he's there. He's in all in life. And these heavenly places that he rules, I don't know what all that includes, but I want to tell you something. I'm not scared of many things, but I'm scared of the devil.
Amen.
I really am scared of the devil. He can be so subtle. He can be so subtle. You know, it's income tax time. And do you hedge a little bit on your income tax? Do you not report all your income? Or do you take something as a deduction that's not really there? And that's subtle. But you know, the fear of having to pay taxes could lead you to do something wrong. There's so many ways the devil can do this.
Amen.
And we're just looking at some of them as these have happened. So what about us? God's people must learn how to let our light shine before unbelievers without becoming unequally yoked with evil companions. Now, the Lord understood this balance. In Luke 15, he was accused of associating with sinners. Well, it wasn't that he was being with evil companions. He was trying to teach those how to be righteous. And the balance that we have to learn in this particular problem is how we associate with people to try to convert them without being in fellowship with them. And that's the difficulty of this particular subject. And every day it brings opportunities to do bad. Every single day there's an opportunity to do bad. I remember when I lived in North Carolina, we lived close to the Marine Air Base, and they had civil service workers there. And they had good jobs. I mean, they really had good jobs. They had good benefits. But you know, they got to where the MPs, as you left the gate, would make you raise the trunk and look in that. And you'll be surprised how many they found stealing small things like tools. But they gave up their job because they wanted to steal something. And you see, that's there. Everybody on a job could do that if you wanted to. But we learn not to do that. And so that's why we learn the truthfulness of the Bible saying evil companions corrupt good morals. And I'm glad to have you as my friends. I'm glad to have you as my associates because you help me do good. And I hope that we help you do good as well. If you have been in some way a companion to an evil person that has led you astray, it can all be cured by repentance and prayer. We invite you this morning to obey the gospel if you need that. Instead of that, it may be that you haven't been baptized for the remission of sins. We can help with that as well. We're always ready to help in any way we possibly can to get us together to go to heaven. Will you respond as we stand together and sing this morning?